As the needle on my fuel gauge hovered over empty, I dropped my fingers against the steering wheel, eyes searching the rain-soaked windscreen for any sign of a gas station. I'd foolishly overestimated that the amount I filled up with just yesterday would be enough to get me home from work. But now, I was just a few seconds from breaking down in the middle of the road. And, following that pattern of great wisdom, I stayed through that meeting at work, even though every cell in me was screaming to return to the comfort of home. Judging by the houses whose boarded up exteriors were scrawled over with crude graffiti and the few figures that hovered, half hidden in the shadowy corners of the streets, just out of peripheral vision, this was not the kind of place anyone wanted to break down in. Just then, a familiar bright, shell-shaped yellow and red neon logo smeared into my view, and my heart leapt in relief. As my eyes adjusted to the sudden glow, I saw that the filling stations there were occupied, just enough for me to fill up and leave as quickly as possible. As I disembarked from the car, the hairs on my forearms prickled upwards. I tried to dismiss it as the night chill, as my own breath ghosted up as a vaporous cloud. But the stiffness in my spine remained. It was the kind you only got when you knew you were being watched. A rapid series of pattering footsteps that rushed out from the surrounding shadows shattered the temporary calm, and I whirled around, my hand already clenched around my cell phone, ready to call 911 at any second. Instead of the glint of a pocket knife, or any other threat that I'd imagined, there stood the friendliest looking golden retriever I'd ever seen. Its coat was a sandy golden colour that shone under the flickering lights. It stood there, pink tongue lolling out of his mouth and long tail swaying in the air. Its dark eyes sparkled up at me, as if it had been waiting for me. It was enough to destabilize my body from the panic mode it had been plunged into. Before I knew it, I was half kneeling, my hand extended out towards it. The dog rushed into my touch, burying its head in the palm of my hand with a happy whine, as if it was the first time it had ever been touched with love in its life. As I scratched the space between its ears, I thought back to my own dog, Cooper. I had practically spent half my life with him. He had been my parents' dog when I was born. There were still baby photos of him curled around me as I tried to catch his tail. As I had learned to walk, he had bounded along beside me, making sure I didn't fall over. He had been my partner in crime. He'd raced with me on my bike through the neighborhood, stayed up with me long past when I should have been asleep watching horror movies, where he'd always bark at the screen and just be there to lap up my tears whenever I'd had a bad day. One day, I'd come down to breakfast to wake him up for another adventure, only to find him lying cold in his dog basket. We buried him that day under the old willow tree, where he used to sleep in the shade of on warm summer days. I'd never cried so hard in my life. He had been 12 years old when he died. Everyone agreed he'd lived a good, long life, but the pain of losing him had never faded. The dog before me could have been his twin, and the long, closed wound within me threatened to reopen. As my fingers combed through the thick mane of its neck, I noticed an absence of any collar. A stray? But this dog looked like it had walked off the set of a pedigree commercial. It was the kind that would have won a blue ribbon in any dog show in the country. The thought of someone leaving such a beautiful animal to fend for itself in a hellhole like this incensed me. A distant gunshot, which was followed by what sounded like a woman's wail, made us both jolt. I reluctantly pulled away from the dog, who looked up at me with a confused whine that only made me feel even more of a monster. "I'm sorry, buddy," I murmured, rising to my feet. "But I can't be here any longer, as much as I'd like to." As I began to walk away, it started following me. My heart clenched further in my chest. I couldn't resist the temptation to tussle its head one more time, even when I knew I was probably instilling it with false hope that I would come back. Even when I walked through the automatic sliding door, I saw that shimmering golden shape sitting by the pumps, just waiting for me to return. As expected, On a night like this, the store was almost completely empty, barring the dour-faced employee behind the plexiglass shielded counter and the chalk-faced tweaker lurching over by the magazines. His face was pocketed with angry red marks, with the skin pulled so tightly across the bones that his skull was almost completely visible, who scowled out at me from underneath his oversized hoodie. I slid the money through the opening. I still couldn't shake that dark, wet nose from my mind, one that I knew was just outside, that I would leave still waiting there, probably for the rest of its life. I knew I had to leave, but I couldn't. As I stepped back out into the frigid evening, it ran to my side with an excited, ringing bark, licking my hand. I couldn't help but smile, despite the pain that stabbed at me inside. It seated itself patiently by my side as I started to fill up my tank, without even being told. "I'm so sorry," I thought, as I cast down brief glances at him. There was nothing more I wanted than to bundle that dog in my car and take him home with me. But there was still the lingering fear that he might belong to someone else, that his collar could have fallen off. Maybe he belonged to a little child, the same way Cooper had once been mine. I couldn't stand the thought of inflicting that kind of pain on anyone else. Just as I'd opened my door, I was about to seat myself inside. A low, metallic click startled me from my thoughts. I turned up and saw the same junkie from the store with a silver 9mm handgun squeezed in his trembling, needle-marked hand. The breath was sucked out of my throat. "Give me your money, man," he barked, frothy saliva flying from brownish, rotted teeth. I raised up my palms, trying to appear nonchalant, even when my heart was seconds away from bursting. It was every nightmare scenario I'd ever had about this place embodied in physical form. "Hey, look, I don't want any trouble," I began. "I just want to get home. Give me all your money." He jabbed the barrel of the gun out towards me, forcing me to step out of the illuminated space of the gas station into the blanketing darkness, far out of sight from the blinking security cameras, where he could probably kill me and get away with it. Just as my eyes closed, readying myself for the searing pain of a bullet ripping through my intestines, a bark rang out. The junkie whipped around, gun still in hand, and to my horror, I saw the dog facing him, pearly white fangs bared. His face fixed into a snarl as he pointed the gun directly at its temple. I rushed forward to tackle him, my own safety forgotten. "No!" But before he could fire, the dog's head snapped back as if its neck had been broken by an invisible force, growls becoming deeper, until they sounded like nothing that had ever walked this planet before. Its small body writhed, skin rippling like it was being inflated with air. Both my would-be assailant and I stared, too terrified yet mesmerized to tear our eyes away from the sight. Its jaws unhinged open like a boa constrictor's, stretching wider and wider until the skin around its mouth looked ready to tear. We watched as a fleshy, red, throbbing pillar of flesh began to merge out from the dog's exposed esophagus, lined with webbing. It seemed to expand before our very eyes, until it was bigger than the body of the creature it emerged from. I'd have to estimate it to be at least 6 feet in length. Then the mass reshaped itself from almost gelatinous to a serrated spear and buried itself in the right eye of the gunman, the sharpened tip cracking through the back of his skull. The gun clattered from his hand as his limp body collapsed onto it, still held half upright by the solid mass. Just as quickly as it had emerged, it retreated into the dog's throat, who swallowed it down and got back onto all four paws like nothing ever happened, though its sandy coat was smeared with red arterial spray. I crawled away backwards from it as it padded over towards me with the same delighted expression, oblivious to my terror. I waited in cold anticipation for it to do the same to me. But it didn't. Instead, it draped itself across my lap, snuggling its head into my stomach. My body relaxed as I realized that whatever it was, it didn't seem to want to hurt me. It had just saved my life. The body of the junkie lay just a few feet away, a bubbling red welt oozing out over the shattered remains of his orbital socket. I looked back down at those dark eyes that stared up at me like I was the most amazing thing in the universe. It was then I knew. I must be insane, I thought to myself. It sat in the front seat next to me, head hanging out of the half-open window. A chalky string of saliva hung from its open jaws, having the time of its life. It howled along to the country music, droning out from the station that I'd randomly switched it to. To any outside watchers, we were just a man and his dog out on the road. Except we weren't. I still had no idea what I had invited into my life, what walked around in the form of a dog, whose shiny coat was still dotted with spray droplets of blood, even after being soaked and dried off. But somehow, I felt like I wasn't going to regret it. I expected most of my neighbors to have been in bed by the time my car rolled into the garage. But, much to my surprise, I saw my elderly neighbor, Mrs. Kim, shuffle up on her porch, struggling with her bags of delivered groceries. She was a plump, jovial woman in her mid-60s who entertained me with stories about her grandchildren, two of whom were in medical school now. She peered at me over the fence. "You're home late," she remarked. "Long day?" I let out a dry laugh as I massaged the back of my neck. "You have no idea." Her face suddenly lit up, letting out a high-pitched squeal as she clapped her hands, her fallen grocery bags forgotten. The dog jumped over the gate and started licking her as she cooed. A brief panic flared within me, only to simmer when I didn't see any signs of hostility.
"Oh, he's adorable. Where did you find him?" she exclaimed.
I swallowed.
"At the animal shelter. It was getting kind of lonely around here." "What's his name?" she asked.
Cooper, I blurted out. I said it without thinking, eager to get inside and avoid any suspicions. But the more I looked over to it, the more the name seemed to fit. After dragging him away from the delighted Mrs. Kim and bidding a hurried goodnight, we'd retired indoors, where I finally allowed myself to breathe. His paws clacked against the wooden floors as he raced from place to place, sniffing out each individual object as he mapped out every inch of his new home. It was a sound that I never thought I would hear again in my life. It returned to my side, nestling its soft skull into the palm of my waiting hand. I didn't care about whatever it was anymore. I just wanted it to be near. "Good dog," I murmured. "Good dog."